Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Evolving Hockey Podcast. My name is Sean, and I'm joined by the Evolving Wild Twins, Josh and Luke Youngren.
What's up, Sean?
Yo, so, what's up?
I never know if you're going to come in or if I'm going to have to continue sometimes. Like,
we've gone over
this multiple
times,
yeah. I try to time it off your like sips of coffee, because you guys always have a sip of coffee when I do this. And then I'm like, well, are they swallowing? Are they taking their time? Like, I don't know if I had to cover, if I had to fill in some time here. It's always awkward to.
Here's a little look under the hood of the Evolving Hockey Podcast. Huge production, right? This is a massive podcast, thousands upon thousands of listeners, blah, blah, blah. Is that when I go to edit it, I sometimes have to mute Luke's track at the beginning because he sips his coffee so loudly when Sean is talking. And it's happened multiple times where Luke just
I
goes,
try to do it off
mic. Massive slurp in the mic as Sean is introducing.
I thought
the
I did. I moved to the side.
You've like, gotten much better about it, but it was like.
I'm over here, listeners. Can you pick this up?
You could probably hear it in my mic because we're in the same room. Anyway, yeah. So it used to be a thing that I would start Luke's recording. I would like just cut it off for the first part because I knew he was going to take this massive slurp of coffee, and it was
no.
Me
these are
Sean
dynamic microphones, so they only pick up what's coming directly into them. They don't pick up around them, which is a problem for any podcaster. You don't need to get a condenser, which needs phantom power, and it picks up the whole room. So like a lot of people who are doing like most professional podcasts. You see, they're using the mics that Josh and I and Sean use.
No one can see what you're pointing
at. I know. It's the EVRE201. No, RE20?
It's RE20. Yeah,
RE20,
the
and then
RE20.
The Shure SM7B, and Sean has the USB version of that.
Yeah. Those are the ones
so
that
So if
most
you want
the
to do a podcast, these are the best mics to do it for. Do not get a condenser because it'll pick up weird mouth sounds. And, you know, some people, like, have heavy breathing and they
now,
do weird swallowing sounds, which those condensers will pick up. So it's like.
Unless you're doing AMSR or whatever.
Yeah.
ASMR.
If you're doing ASMR, you should get a condenser because that's a much more sensitive microphone.
And you can, like, for instance, I'm rubbing my jacket right now, and it's probably not audible. The only problem is that with these with non-condenser wait hold on, I'm blanking on the word that you just said. Dynamic mics, you have to be right next to the mic more or less, so you can't like if you want the microphone out of your shot if you're doing video, then you would go with a condenser.
But also you don't have to get like these are not I mean we had these for like music recording from a while ago, so we had already purchased them. They're not super cheap if you're just doing like a fun little podcast. So,
but I see
you
most
get better
people. I see
dynamics.
Most people with the Shure SM7B, and I will say that I think the EVRE20 is a far superior mic. They're both very good, but the RE20 also you can use it. Like I've recorded my trombone with it. It works great with vocals. It works great on like floor toms.
Anyway,
toms for
let's
drums.
Get to the playoffs here. Capitals were swept. Bam.
Boom.
Done. Out.
No. Oh, Luke's just right in.
We're
right
in.
Right
we don't
in.
Need to keep. You know, we got to get to. People want to hear about our thoughts on hockey, right?
That and some other things.
No, but yeah, Mike's. That's
you're really
good
here
mic.
For the geography, Luke.
Yeah, I know
exactly. No, we are recording. It is a Monday, April 29th, at 7:30 Central. 8:30 if you're on the other coast. the other
you're not
coast.
On a coast. You're
we're
in
not
the
on
the
coast. We're not on a coast. Sorry.
No coast.
I'm not trying to jump right into geography right now. I didn't.
Well, I just
I tried
to make
a
you
joke
said,
on
you
the fly.
I said Washington Capitals. And then I thought, are there any teams in Washington State that are not Seattle? They're the Washington something.
Well, there's the Trailblazers, right?
But that was Portland. That's
what?
Oregon.
Wait, hold on.
What
sorry, never mind.
About?
Never mind. My geography is off. I'm trying to think of things on the fly without looking at my computer.
Dude, that could be like the when we get to like the like 68th NHL team, which we're on pace for to get to there and like 2040, we could have like the Spokane Sizzlers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We didn't even talk about the move for Arizona, I don't think, right? Like that hasn't even, we didn't even discuss that, which
well,
I guess
that happened extremely quickly.
It
I
did. Yeah.
And then we had to get ready for the playoffs. It just seemed like it happened right away. I'm going to have to go update all our team abbreviation codes.
Suspicious timing.
Again.
Well, they don't have a team name yet. Are they just going to be UT? I would assume they're just going to be UT.
I mean, I
for
think
the
that
abbreviations, right?
So, yeah, I looked at the NBA. I think they do UTH for their three letter.
No,
what
no,
UTA?
No. UT is just a lot nicer.
But they're
yeah,
all.
But they,
three
are we still doing
letter.
The period?
Well, so that's the thing. They don't do
like TB and SJ.
There are no.
Can we cut that?
There are no. there are no two letter abbreviations in the NHL that aren't like either Los Angeles, which is L-A, or Tampa Bay, which is T.B, or New Jersey, Is N.J.
San Jose.
Or some people have it NJD. But the like, NHL, my point is that well, Columbus no. Columbus was CBJ. Vegas is VGK, right? They always do three. So I would assume that with Utah, it's not going to just be straight UT. It'll be
go.
UTA or UTH or something.
It doesn't go.
Well,
go.
It's gonna
you
go
do the UT.
Because it's expecting
it's more
three characters.
Pleasing if it's just UT.
Yeah, it's expecting
well,
three
they
characters.
They put the period in there.
Well, I don't know.
Are the periods not allowed because it's not two words?
Well,
because
here's
you got
the thing.
Tampa Bay T period B, New Jersey N dot J. You
yeah,
have
we just set them
San
all.
Jose S dot J.
LA.
Well, right, but Utah wouldn't fit that. But I feel like the A and the H just don't go. You only have four letters. So you only have one other to go with. I think it's just UT. It's just...
Here, I'm going to just say this for the record, is that the NHL actually changed the dot system. So the five teams that have had dots, they changed it. So Tampa Bay is TBL now. But because for legacy purposes with our data, we did not go with that one because it would be a nightmare to update all of the... all of those codes in our existing database. So I changed to say, no, we're sticking with the old ones.
I was just looking at the NHL team abbreviations page on our favorite site, wikipedia.com, .org. And yeah, I guess the thing is that they're not going to abbreviate Utah with two letters. It'll be three letters and it'll probably be either UTA or UTH. It's not going to just be UT.
UTH feels like a cryptocurrency.
Yeah, Utah hockey. There you go. Easy.
Yeah, there. Yeah, it works perfect. This has all of the historic abbreviations.
Well, no,
too.
They did Utah
what
Hockey
do you think,
Club.
What was
U-
the heart?
HC would be fine.
Do you know what the Hartford Whalers abbreviation was or is?
CDW? HFD.
HFD. Yeah. That's what it was. I'm going some legacy
what do you think
teams
it would
here.
Be?
I don't know. I mean,
I just immediately thought Connecticut and then said CT, which is, I don't know why.
Do you know what CGS was?
CGS, California Golden Seals.
Yeah. Oh, this is Sean's good at this. What
I
about,
was going to say California Golden.
Yeah. What about MMR?
MMR?
MMR.
Memphis. Monster Raccoon.
Stop interrupting me. Please tell me it's the Montreal Maroons.
It is the Montreal Maroons.
Let's go.
Dude, Sean's really good at it. Sean's got his history on lock here. I'm trying to stump Sean. What about BRK?
Ooh. BRK.
Boise River Cats.
No.
Boise River.
I don't know. This could be too
Boulder
much
Rockies.
For me to try to figure it out. Like it's if a, you gave
I'll,
me the city, I could probably figure it out.
I'll give you
name involved.
I'll give you a hint. Oh, now my, it was a team based in. Well, I'm not going to say where it was based. From 1925 to 1942, they were the third expansion team in the history of the NHL. They never won a cup. They reached the semifinals twice. And it was the first team in a very major city in America.
Buffalo?
No.
That's not
they,
really a...
They were the first expansion team? The third expansion team?
Third expansion team. They're probably in the biggest city in the country.
In the biggest city in the country? So
Brooklyn?
They were a New York team?
Brooklyn...
Red
just
Knights.
BRK.
The Americans. The Brooklyn Americans.
Then why would it be RK?
Because BRK. Brooklyn. Yeah.
I guess.
Anyway.
So, yeah.
They also went by the New York Americans. They were the first team before the Rangers who arrived.
I knew
in
the New York Americans. I thought. Tabernak. I didn't
the team operated
the
as the
Americans.
Brooklyn Americans during the 41-42 season before suspending operations in 42 due to World War II. So there's our NHL trivia for the week.
I got most of it.
Here's the trivia that I just learned last night is that the Timberwolves swept the Phoenix Suns yesterday, I believe. Minnesota Timberwolves.
Anthony Edwards destroyed them.
Was the first time in Minnesota sports history, probably not including the Lynx, that a Minnesota team has swept a 7-game series. Ever. 60 series, it said. This is from, I think, Zach Pierce on Twitter.
Yeah.
16 or 60?
60. 67-game series. Not 60.
I can't believe there was Minnesota teams that played in 60 total series.
Yeah, there's been like four teams here for forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so baseball, you have to get to the second round to get to the seven-team series.
Yeah. The Twins have gone like in the playoffs. I mean,
guess
the Twins
so.
Have been around for a
so.
Long. They've been here since like the 60s, 65.
No, I think it was earlier than that, right?
Yeah.
Now I'm forgetting my baseball history.
And
here.
The Timberwolves, well, they had the Lakers.
Yeah.
That includes the Lakers. It includes the North Stars.
See, and then I forget about the North Stars.
Yeah. And then also it said in that tweet that the North Stars, when they moved to Dallas, swept their in the first season in Dallas. They swept the first series they were in.
It feels bad to be Minnesotan.
I know.
I wish that I was a basketball fan.
I really do wish I was a basketball fan.
Then I could like enjoy this, you know, and you know, get past all of my shame as being for all the Minnesota teams I've watched. But anyway, let's get back to the playoffs. Yeah. Let's get back to
this might be a two-segment one anyway because we've talked about nonsense for the first.
The Rangers Caps, I don't know. That was the most boring series. Wasn't into it.
Yeah. So yeah, let's give a quick update on what the series are at right now, right? So they're all 3-1 except the Caps lost 0-4 or I should say the Rangers swept 4-0. Vegas is up 2-1 on the Stars. What is the I haven't looked at the current scores. What is the
It's 2-1 Florida.
Florida's
right
winning 2-1 against Tampa late in the second to have a chance to clinch the series here. So when this comes out, more likely than not, they will also have advanced. And
yeah.
The two division winners in the East will have advanced.
Yeah. And so we're looking at a potential for no game sevens in the first round, which we were kind of talking off air is both a little bit interesting or like kind of a lack of fun, I suppose, given how kind of some of the matchup in the first round, but also Luke, Sean, and I would like a little bit more time to work on our playoff previews, so I'm really hoping that we get a Game 7, because that would push it in the weekend, and we would
also
get a little more time.
Specifically, the Stars, because we are crazy high in the Stars, and I don't think the Knights should
Lots
win.
Lots of logs will be lost.
Yes. Also, well, the Stars have kind of been dominating the
they
Knights.
They have. I was looking
in
at
the
that.
Three games they've played, they have a 50. This is at 5-5. They have almost 57% Corsi 4 percentage and a 69% XGF.
Isn't that extremely recency biased with Game 3?
Yeah,
like,
I know it is.
They destroyed them in Game 3.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
We were, hold on, what were we doing when the Stars were playing? I don't think we were watching.
I think we had it on. I was watching it. I was maybe not paying the most attention. I always forget every year that when we get into the playoffs, then I have to then finalize our contract projections. And so I actually then don't really have this. I was like, we watched like basically every game for the first like two games. And then I was like, it hit this week and I was like, shit, we got to get our contract projections out in like a week. I got to take some time off. Can't get, you know, bogged down by the playoffs. So I've watched, I just haven't been as hardcore about watching them. But I was going to ask you, do you know who leads currently skaters with a minimum of 40 minutes on ice in XG 4 percentage right now? Throwback.
Mark Stone? No, it's not going to be Mark Stone.
It's a real throwback? What do you mean?
It's someone that Luke and I know quite well.
Oh, Nino Niederreiter?
On a personal level?
No, not on a personal level. I
was going to say, the Jets are getting caved.
No, it's not.
I don't know then.
Ryan Suter.
Nick Seeler?
No.
Ryan Suter. Yep.
Oh, was it just in that series?
No, this is in three games. He has an 81.4% XG 4% XG percentage 4% at 5-5 with 54 minutes played. The next player, Kaapo Kakko. So this is a great example of why you should trust small samples and like what's going on there. Who's the worst? Let's
is it Ottinger's washed? No, is
Zach Whitecloud has a 22% on ice XG 4% right now.
Yeah, the Golden Knights are kind of getting
your guy Jake DeBrusque. He's down here, Sean.
Let's see the Bruins. Also, we could talk about Leafs Bruins because those underlying metrics are pretty funny too.
Well,
also, I guess Mitch Marner's terrible now. That's what I've been told. Is that he played three games in the playoffs and
Sean's
he's just completely washed and he needs to be traded to Utah? Is that what I?
I feel like
Keller.
Yeah.
Is this what I was hearing? Is that, well, you know, it's always really a good idea to just base your player acquisition and player decisions, team management on three games in the playoffs. That's a
every year this happens.
Every year
they've played four games.
I know. Okay, sorry.
What's so funny is that now there's all these articles about, and like, you know, I saw Friedman had this. I think Wyshynski had this. Is like how, oh, this is the end. If they don't come back from this, this is the end of the Big Four.
End
like
of
this
the
is
core.
The end of the core four. And it's like, well, look at what the Leafs did this season in terms of adding players. And it's like, did you not think they were already kind of on their way out? You know, with like the team that they built. Like, I don't know. I just think also they have at least everyone for next year, right? None of their big players are not on contract, right? I think, is it Nylander and Tavares? No, Marner and no, Nylander and Tavares.
Nylander and Austin have already extended. JT and Marner have their last years next year.
Yes, that was what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, what's your take as the resident Leafs fan here?
Well, Marner's definitely still injured. Are seemingly still suffering from that high ankle sprain because he's just not skating as well. And also, it's like three games. I don't think he's played as bad as he's getting like roasted for. Definitely not his best games, but like, whatever. But like the big issue is just like, what are the downhill effects of you trying to trade, having a guy waive his no move clause for you to be able to trade him with 1 year left on before UFA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of one, you're not gonna get the value back for him. It's like the Eichel deal in that sense, right?
Yes.
And then if you just had this complete disaster with Mitch Marner, like, who wants to go play for you, I guess?
Yeah.
Like, who wants to go play in that market? So especially like there's a lot of like small market teams right now that are, one, tax advantaged, and two, like, you don't have the attention on you and they're good. So like, wouldn't you rather go play down for the Panthers, or I guess the Lightning are on this weird piece right now, or Vegas or the Stars? Like, wouldn't you rather go play for them? Nashville?
How about the Wild, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Send Marner into Minnesota.
Yeah, let's go freeze on some dead cat. But I don't know. It feels like everybody, no matter what, always overreacts to the Leafs. Like, they can come back and win this series potentially still, right? Like, it acts like this is, everybody's acting like this is over. But I mean, the Bruins were up 3-1 against Florida last year, and Florida went on to the Cup final.
Yeah.
So,
well, and that's, I think the thing is that I think, well, first of all, I think that the Leafs are one of what, like, I guess Vancouver's the other one that's been hit with like some really bad, I think, injuries. I think it came out that Nylander, I think, has migraines, right? Like a pretty
Nobody really knows what's happening with migraine with Nylander. The migraines are like the widest accepted theory.
Yeah.
But I mean, nobody really knows.
But it sounds like Matthew's been sick and Marner's still been dealing with an injury, and who knows what else, you know, the team is kind of like putting up with. So it's not like, I don't necessarily think the Bruins have looked like an absolute monster in this series. Like, they've looked good, sure, and they've had some good goalie performances and whatnot, but I think the Leafs have played pretty well overall, and yeah, there's still a game at least for them to play and, you know, play more. But it's always like, whenever the playoffs are happening, it's like every, you know, I don't know how many times we talked about this, about how immediately everyone just then takes those three games or four games or five games or whatever it ends up being, and then just completely doesn't like look at the regular season. They're like, oh yeah, whatever, it doesn't matter. This is the playoffs though. This team is done. The core four is, they're cooked. Like, they're going to trade everybody. And I was kind of just laughing when I was like, well, what do you mean that this is the end of the core four? It's like, well, no, you still have all of these players next year. And like, what are they going to start trading? Are they going to just like, they're going to tear it down now? Like, they just extended Matthews and Nylander. They still have Riley for another, I don't know how many years, right? Like, I just think it's a kind of a silly,
It's the same. It's the thing with narratives is that they get made early and then they stick. And that's it's kind of annoying how that happens, is that people just, you know, they just need something to cling to. And so then they develop this narrative, and then players just have to dig their way out of it if they just, you know, don't start hot, or they basically just get to start hot and ride just this, like, oh, they're just like, they're, you know, the best player ever. And like, then it's like really obnoxious with the clutch fact. Oh, they don't have it in the clutch, right? Like, it's like
also,
that.
What about, like, why do they get to have the core four? What about like Minnesota? Minnesota's got Kaprizov, Boldy, Eriksson-Ek,
Zuccarello.
Every team's got a core four, right? I don't understand. I mean, the Leafs are pretty top end heavy.
They are top end heavy.
So I suppose it makes sense, right? But I don't know. What about the Predators? O'Reilly, Forsberg, Yossi, Novak.
Nyquist.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, Sean, your Predators pick to
they look
to
good.
Win.
They look good.
Well, but they're down 3-1 now.
They just blew a giant lead against the Canucks.
Yeah, against the Canucks.
That was awful.
With their rookie goaltender.
Is that who they ended up? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I was reading. It's like a 23-year-old, I think, kind of highly thought of prospect, maybe, from, I think...
what's his name? Silvos? Or
yeah, it's like Silvos, Slivos? Yeah. It's A. Silvos or something, yeah.
I was just gonna. I was just looking it up.
A is his name. It's just A.
First name. First letter of his first name is A.
Here, why don't I pull it up?
So yeah, they're on their third goalie. They have their fourth string backing up.
Artur Silovs. Silovs.
Oh, it's O V S.
S O. I don't know.
Anyway. I was reading. I saw that they that he performed well in World Juniors for Belarus. Was that the
team? That is a country. That's a country for sure.
Judge, where is he from?
I know you guys aren't watching, but we might have our second disallowed goal for the Lightning tonight on an elimination game.
Oh, nice!
So there's lots of drama in this series. Not to switch you over.
No, that's fine.
It's Artur. Latvia. Sorry. There is just a new player from Belarus.
We're stuck on Eastern European countries at the moment.
Anyway.
So,
look at that. I wonder how you pronounce that.
I think the Predators have played fairly well. Yeah, it's no goal. I think the Predators have played fairly well, but I mean, now on the brink, going back to Vancouver for Game 5 and having to win all three straight. I'm not liking my odds of it. I apologize to myself for putting the hope. But Brock Boeser's been having a great series, so good for him, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think about where our currently right now our model has been pretty good overall. I mean, like, we were a little bit higher on the Leafs than a few, but only like a couple points higher than the consensus, it seemed like. The Stars, though, are the one.
Oh, if the Stars lose, that's gonna...
I'm also gonna be irritated.
I'm gonna be irritated.
I'm gonna be mad.
I don't think the Golden Knights don't deserve to win. I don't think so.
And I hate cheering
also, they've
for
the been
Stars.
Getting completely outplayed by the metrics. Who else plays tonight?
I think it's that
the Knights
game.
And the Stars.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna watch that game.
Weird schedules too. Let's just be real with ourselves here. The playoff schedules have been just quite strange. Some of it's been good. Like the weekends have been good. Like especially because I think TNT has its influence, which TNT has done a really good job with the broadcast.
Yeah,
as
I would
we
agree.
Were talking about, you know, but like Saturday, what was it? I'll speak in central time for you. I believe it was 1 o'clock, then 4 o'clock, then 7 o'clock, then 10 o'clock, basically.
Yes.
Gonna do some rounding there because I think theoretically it was like 9:30.
Yeah, it was
like
9:50,
the late game,
I think.
But like, let's just be real, it ended up more closer to 10. So you could just sit down and watch hockey all day.
Yeah.
It's been great. You know, but the schedules have been a bit odd.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's been, I don't know. It just everything felt kind of rushed about these playoffs, and we talked about this last week. But it's like they just kind of jumped right into them, and then yeah, and it was. I mean, everything is more or less like kind of going, I think, as expected is my point. But we don't. I'm trying to remember. Like usually, there's what like at least a series or two that have game sevens, right? I don't remember how many have been. Like in the prior
years. I think the
years.
Series, though, that we've thought would go to game sevens haven't been as good.
Yeah.
Avs,
yeah.
Jets is probably disappointed for people.
Yeah. Yes.
Like
I would say
like
that.
A neutral fan.
Yeah.
For sure. Bruins Leafs was supposed to go to seven. I mean, everybody was kind of counting on that. And again, like, those are at 3-1, but, and they could still go to seven. We never know what happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But those have felt very one sided at the moment. Especially in terms of vibes.
Yeah, well,
you know,
we didn't even... Well, hold on. Let's figure out on the fly what our scheduling is going to do. Are we taking a break right now, or are we going to just keep going?
Let's take a break.
No, let's keep going.
Dude, I want a break.
Luke,
I want more
you're
coffee.
The laziest.
I want more coffee.
Keep this on. I want to tell people how Luke is the laziest. As soon as there's the temptation of a break, he's like, I want a break. He could take 5 breaks throughout a whole podcast to get his way through.
I want more. Guaranteed. I got coffee. I got that's waiting for me in the
Luke
kettle.
Luke wants his coffee. It's. It,
Are you
it,
chugging let's... the coffee?
No,
but it's
I started this like 40 minutes ago, which is a cup. It's a cup that says putt, chip, and sip. It's a golf
yes,
cup.
Yes, you use it like every single time.
I don't know. It's just the one.
You're like
it's got
in
a
golf mood every single time we come.
Yeah, it's the hole for where like the Mitch golf Marner. Ball can go in.
I was watching some golf videos. What did I watch? Some golf videos. Have you been out golfing yet, Sean? Anyway, sorry.
I played yesterday.
Let's take a break because Luke is.
We have a sponsor that needs to get.
Yeah,
there. They
we
pay
do.
Us.
Menards. We'll have Menards come on, nope. And do a spot for us.
All right, we're gonna take a break because Luke is impatient and lazy.
Luke's gonna go grab
to Luke,
some coffee. Yeah, and then we'll be back after he's recaffeinated.
Okay.
Welcome back. Thank you to our sponsor for allowing Luke to take a coffee break. Luke has a coffee.
Oh, yeah. Coffee's great.
You didn't sip on that one.
I haven't. It's really hot right now.
Luke made more and then
wicked hot.
Then filled up his cup too much. So he's going slow with his coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, it's important. Also,
you went slow with the first one.
I think it's better. Also, one of my life hacks recently has been I've been letting my coffee sit a little bit so that it cools down a tiny bit. You know what I mean? Like, not too much.
Well, how long are you letting it sit?
Like a couple minutes.
See, that's what I hate about hot coffee. Obviously, I don't really drink much hot coffee. I hate about hot coffee is the temperature. The time to drink is very, there's a short window of
it's like tea.
The ideal temperature. Yeah, well, that sucks. Like,
get
my
a smaller
dunks
cup.
this morning, like, I was just kind of doing different things. And so, like, I don't know, it probably took me, like, an hour and a half to get all the way through my dunks.
How big of a coffee do you get when you go to a coffee shop?
Well, like, they put ice in it, so it's a little bit weird to say. I get a large dunks.
What do you mean? I don't know what that is.
How many ounces?
Are we talking 16, 24, 32?
Let me Google. What's a large dunks? Google.
What is the largest coffee you can get at a normal coffee shop, you think?
What's the ultimate grande thing or whatever?
I hate Starbucks, too. I never go to Starbucks, but sometimes like if we're on the road or like if I need coffee and I'm just not in the mood to stop at like a Holiday or Speedway or whatever,
There's some Midwest references, I think.
Yeah, Quick Trip. I think the top tier gas station coffee has got to be either Holiday or Quick Trip. Those are the two best gas station coffee spots, I think.
Oh, dude, there's a lot of caffeine in the large cold brew. There's
are you just realizing that now?
50, yeah, there's like 350 milligrams of caffeine. Isn't that a lot?
I don't know.
That seems like a big thing of coffee. Like, is it
so? It's a 32. It's 32 ounce, but it's iced down, right? So it's probably more like.
Well, how
24?
Much ice is in there?
You get a 32 ounce iced coffee every day.
That's huge. That's like a big gulp of coffee.
It's not a big gulp. I think it's. Wait, no. That's Reddit. No. For iced coffee, it goes 16, 24, 30. Oh yeah. But like, there's ice in it. It can't be more than 24 ounces.
There's ice, or there's always ice in iced coffee.
Yeah,
that's how it works.
So the original Big Gulp at where was it? At 7-Eleven was a 32 ounce.
Yeah, you get a big gulp of Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee.
Is that the only coffee you drink a day?
Yeah.
You if I can
you
use
think
one
I'm
of your
having
words.
Multiple dunks.
Well, if
actually,
I can use one of your
I do
words.
Have multiple dunks. I had a phase where I was having two large dunks a day, and that seems like a really excessive amount.
That's
a
lot of coffee. If I can use one of your
especially
words,
especially now that I know that it's 350 milligrams, so that's like 700 milligrams. That's almost a kilogram.
You must have a wicked crash in the afternoon.
Yes, I do crash in the afternoon.
See, this is the trick with coffee is to just not drink coffee the whole day. So that you don't crash until you go to bed. That's the trick with coffee.
So it says on the Google that there are 95 milligrams of caffeine in 8 fluid ounces of coffee. This is probably an average. So That'd be
so we're probably, I would say that I drink about, when I have
about
coffee,
16
I
ounces.
Yeah, about 16 ounces, I would assume, at a time.
So that's 190 milligrams of coffee in the morning, and then 190 milligrams of coffee in the evening.
That's funny, because
having coffee, having the caffeine in the evening is terrible.
No, it's not.
Because the half-life of caffeine is so long.
What, I sleep
fine. It's terrible
fine.
For you.
No, it's not. Well, okay, actually,
because you're living with an addiction.
No, well, yes. But it's a good addiction. Coffee is a good addiction, because coffee's good for you.
It's good for your liver.
If you're just drinking... No, it's good for you. There's a lot of studies about this, that coffee is, like, relatively good for you. There's no calories if you don't put shit in it. It's I think that there's been health... There's been...
It's like ultra... It's like super
caffeinated. To be caffeinated while you're trying to sleep is not good for your sleep.
Well,
sleep
is
extremely important.
I've read about this, is that I think it's somewhat genetic about how caffeine affects people, and I think there are some people who are probably like Luke or I that I sometimes drink coffee and I get tired and I go to bed and I'll take a nap. Like sometimes I have, like, I can drink coffee, I never feel like I have trouble going to bed. The problem is waking up the next morning is sometimes a bit of a trick, a hard thing for me. But Luke and I, as this has somewhat been well documented, Sean's aware of this, is that we are late night people, so I naturally am up late. So drinking coffee at 8 for me right now, which is kind of absurd, I think, for some people to think about. Very normal situation.
That's like drinking coffee at like 1 or 2 for most people.
Also, I need, like, this is the strong Norwegian heritage in us, is we, every family gathering, every meal with our elders, with our grandparents and our great aunts and uncles, it would end afterwards. The meal finished, immediately you have dessert and coffee after every meal. That's how it was, like, growing up. And so now, I don't know what it is, but when we get done eating, I need coffee. That's just how it's always been. And so that's how I, you know, we still roll. And so, yeah.
Anyway, we're way off topic here. People, yeah, if you stuck around this long, I apologize for the lack of hockey content.
It's fine. It's just the playoffs. What does it matter, right?
Yeah.
It's
just the playoffs. What does it matter?
Well, we drink about the same amount of coffee as you do, Sean. We just have it at two times where you drink 32 ounces of coffee in the morning.
I don't drink 32 ounces of coffee in the morning. There's ice in there. It's just that's the size of the cup. Tomorrow morning, I'll measure it out. How about
You'll
that?
You'll sift out the...
I honestly, with how much ice they probably put in there, I wouldn't be surprised if it's 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're gonna boil, you're gonna evaporate all of the coffee and get the solid
caffeine.
Drain
the ice out of the coffee and then pour it back into the cup and then measure or put it in a liquid measuring cup.
How do you
anyway.
Plan on counting a liquid? Sorry, it's
reference.
Counting
a liquid, you just put it in the measure.
Sorry, it's Always Sunny. Have you seen it's Always Sunny reference? You watch that show?
No.
Okay. You really haven't seen anything, Sean.
That's not true.
Back to hockey. Back to playoffs. Give us the update on the Lightning Panthers right now, Sean.
They're in intermission. It's 2-1.
Okay. Thank you, Luke. Thank you, Sean.
Sorry, Sean.
Well, come back.
I
don't
stole
know
your
you
sunshine.
Want.
No, it's fine. I was trying to think what we haven't talked about. I guess the one we kind of talked about it, but yeah, the one I wanted to come back to.
Those Kings is like the. Literally the one that we haven't
just
at all.
Let's hold on that one because I wanted to talk a little bit more about
Canes Islanders, I guess. But
yeah, oh, we didn't talk about Canes Islanders at all either.
I don't know if we ever touched on it, period. Yeah.
No. So let's put a pin in that and come back to those in a little bit. The Jets have not looked particularly great. And I was really hoping for Well, you know, we were kind of, you know, big Jets fans heading into this round. The one thing is, like, we kind of talked about this a little bit, is this is the series I was kind of excited to watch, and I've watched, I think, every game, and it's just been kind of like the first game was absurd, and I think we maybe already talked about it. I'm trying to remember when.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. But the Jets in general, I mean, a lot of people are like, you know, have mentioned Hellebuyck, but also I think they've allowed the most XG against of any team, or at least Hellebuyck. I was just looking at 5-on-5 anyway. Or at all situations.
Hellebuyck allowed the most XG against.
it was all him. At 5-on-5, Hellebuyck has faced 10.4 XG against, which is the most of any.
How many goalies?
He's 12 goals.
At a rate at 5-on-5, it's 3.43. The next worst is your Vegas Golden Knights at 3.41.
And Logan Thompson was the second in the goalies, right? But did they? No, they've only played three. So, to the point also, I guess, of that is that he has allowed about a goal and a half higher above expected, in that. So it's not like Hellebuck's been particularly great either. The Jets, I think, just in general are, I don't know what's going on. Colorado, obviously, like we talked about this in a preview, talked about it on the episode last week, is that they do just have some really high-end talent, and I could see that being the case. But let's just say I had higher hopes, even though I think we were the highest on the Avs.
We were. Josh has been saying we're Jets fans, but it's like I think we were higher than most on Colorado going into this series.
Yeah. And again, as we've said,
it was only slightly. That was when we were like kind of close to where the consensus was. Same thing with the Leafs. Although, again, as I've said, if the Leafs do end up losing, it would have been much more tilted into the Bruins' favor if we knew that Nylander was not in and Reeves was not going to play. Or Reeves was going to play. Anyway,
yeah,
as we've touched on. But Edmonton, L.A. Oh, I don't know if we've watched, I don't think I've watched very many of their games.
Have you stayed up for any of their games, Sean?
One or two.
We had one on, I think. I think sometimes in the playoffs, I find that I'm watch the East and then the Central teams, and then by the time the Pacific's on, I either have to do work or I'm just like kind of hockeyed out, and I'm like, I got to take a break. So I usually like kind of follow along on Twitter or just like look at some of the highlights of it or whatever. But yeah, I think it was like the best score in hockey, 1-0 last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know,
and Connor McDavid still has 10 points already in this playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with Zach Hyman
attached at his hip. They have, I think that line I was looking is the top XGF percentage line in the playoffs among four.
Can you pull that up?
I do.
Playoffs.
Henrique. Is it Henrique or Henrique?
Henrique, I think.
Henrique. We've established this.
Yeah, I know.
Quite a few times.
There's another one on the. It's Henrique, McDavid, Hyman at almost 80% XGF percentage in 44 minutes of 5-on-5 tie, which is pretty impressive. And then the next highest is the Wennberg, Kako, and I do not. I apologize. Sorry to this man. Will Kylie. Cuylle. Do you know how to pronounce that name, Sean? I know Josh doesn't.
I've never heard of this person, I don't think.
Sorry, this man.
I don't listen to broadcasts, and I feel like I'm going to get worse more and more pronouncing names as I go on because I never listen to the broadcasts. Isn't it just Coyle? Isn't that just a weird name?
Cooley.
Weird way of spelling Coyle.
Cooley.
Tabernacle.
I've heard that. I've heard an announcer say Cooley.
Yeah, now that you say it.
Wait, this is different Cooley, though.
Different. Oh, that's Logan Cooley.
Devin
Cooley. Isn't that the San Jose goaltender that
Sorry, spell this man's name again.
C-U-Y-L-L-E.
Cooley?
Cooley. Is that really how you pronounce it? I would never have guessed that.
Who is that?
They just vibed out that one.
Yeah, William Cooley. Wow, that's a
He's been pretty good,
one.
Though, for them.
Yeah, I mean, well, that line has been very good in four games. I mean, they've played 30 minutes.
I don't even know. I can't
remember. Basically all of Carolina's top lines are in the top here. But also the Kopitar, Kempe, Byfield line is fifth. So Edmonton, LA has kind of been an interesting one. I think that in that 1-0 game, I think the Kings actually kind of
they rocked. Yeah,
rocked
I just
the
had
Oilers.
The game logs up. They had LA kept Edmonton to like a 34% Corsi 4 on ice at 5-on-5, even less of the shot. They didn't have a goal. Obviously, they shut them out. And yeah, I mean, they only had
That's Stuart Skinner. The Oilers are going to ride Stuart Skinner to the Stanley Cup Finals. Watch this. Watch it happen after the beginning of the year.
Let me check our head over to Evolving
Connor
Hockey.
McDavid's going to drag the soul of the Edmonton Oilers.
You know, this is where it would be nice, bro, if you had defaulted to the playoffs instead of regular season.
I know.
Site.
Yeah,
I
that's
know.
What I'm saying.
Because I got to go to every...
I got to do everything Nichushkin around here. No.
To go back to this, because Zach Hyman has 6 goals, Valeri Nichushkin after yesterday now has 6 goals, and he has 0 assists. In the playoffs so far.
That's so, what was the
perfect Cy Young?
Marchenko in the last regular season, but the season
his
before that
season.
He had like 20 goals and like 1 assist, wasn't that when he was a rookie, which is pretty funny.
Yep.
When the Jackets were terrible.
No, I was just looking at Skinner is pretty much right in the he's slightly above average goals saved above expected. He saved about a half a goal for the Oilers. And then kind of in the middle, I guess, right around them, DeSmith, Bobrovsky, Saros have all been about expected. Logan Thompson, as we mentioned, and Jeremy Swayman are the two leaders in terms of goals saved above expected in the playoffs, which I think Logan Thompson makes a lot of sense from just like the fact that like the Stars skaters have been playing really well. And I guess, yeah, Ottinger is currently, oh, I guess I was wrong. Wait, did I? Oh, this is all situations. Sorry. I should say all situations. So Hellebuyck also has not been, he's currently the league loser. The league, I'm trying to think, what do we say is, he's been the worst in the playoffs in terms of goal save of expected at all strengths. And the, yeah, I guess like Washington, I don't know, like a few of these, like Talbot, like we kind of talked about, he's like the third worst. He's given up about three goals above expected at this point in the series, which is kind of interesting because we were, you know, talking about this last week about how older goalies and, you know, how good he was in the, for the regular season, but how there's a lot of uncertainty. But also, we're just talking about like four games here for most of these goalies and most, well, for everything. So it's, again, kind of silly to try to draw any, you know, any hard
conclusions
yes. out of these things. But
yeah, but the other thing I was going to say is that, yeah, that Kempe, Kopitar, Byfield line has been really good for LA, at least in four games. And also look at Parisi making an appearance here. Lekkonen and Middlestad, Parisi.
Now, isn't that a line that you, if you told somebody that, what, right?
I wonder who's carrying that line.
Yeah, Parisi, Zach Parisi.
No, it's got to be Lekkonen, right?
Yeah, no, I know.
No, because what?
That's
if you told somebody, what, 3 years ago that the Avalanche's best line in the first round, I don't know if it's actually their best line, but the Avalanche's best line in the first round of the 2024 playoffs was Casey Middlestad, Arturi Lekkonen, and Zach Parisi, right? Wouldn't that just be like one of the weirdest things? I mean, it's a very Colorado thing to do, I feel like. That's been one of their, you know, underneath their high top end, they've been finding really good pieces. I want to look at Georgiev. He's been slightly below average. Like, he's been fine. I mean, that was another big question, I think, heading in.
All right, let's see the worst lines. Let me see. Yeah, Vegas. Islanders, yeah.
Well, it's funny because the
not Nino Appleton Lowry.
Really?
Line, yeah. That I mean, from a Corsi perspective.
Well, they're the matchup line.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
You're getting worked. So this is, again, our combos, you know, it's kind of, I've actually wanted to do this to do like line combos, wrap them so that you could actually get an opponent, like a competition adjusted lines. Because, like, this is complete, like, yeah, it's the combined results of all three players, but like you said, Sean, is that's the line that's basically put out to, you know, defend against the Avalanche's top forwards.
And
so, like,
and
yeah, they're kind of going to get worked, and so there's no quality of competition adjustment against that, which now I've said, or for that, which I've said, you know, we've talked sometime about quality of competition and how it doesn't have as much of an impact. But in this case, the combos, like for D pairs, and it's also not other teammate adjusted. So, like, if that line is not playing with Morrissey or what, the Jets top pair, you know, for instance, it's not, they're not going to be, or the, I don't know, if that makes sense. If you understand what I'm saying,
I get it.
You get it. So I had that idea a while ago.
We do have. Relative to teammate metrics in the playoffs. Which
we do.
I always forget kind of work in small samples. Now, again, very small samples. It's been a while. We don't really.
It's a very, very small sample.
I mean,
hit us with it, bro.
Well, I'm just saying that we don't really reference relative to teammate. We talked about it in one of our glossary series, and now we're going to schedule a glossary series this summer. We are going to do the next one about GAR. Wait, GAR? No, RAP.
Yeah, it's
GAR.
Goals Above Replacement.
About Goals Above Replacement. When I get the X-GAR write-up done, then we're going to have the glossary that will have that big, you know, have a big episode, you know, with banners and flyers and, you know, announcements and advertising everywhere about the X-GAR write-up.
There'll be giveaways even.
But in terms of relative to teammate, which I guess I can... Well, it's a very similar calculation to what Rapham's doing, but it just doesn't have the...
Well, it's not similar at all. It's
not... The calculation itself is not similar, but the process is kind of similar to what Rapham is doing without the regression element and the model element. It's
and there's
just,
no competition.
Luke, I'm trying to go shortly. I'm trying to go quick here, right? We have a big, long thing we wrote years ago for Hockey Graphs about this, two parts. it's in our glossary as well, but it's kind of an interesting metric, I think, that accounts for teammate impact and kind of tries to keep every player on an even.
It's basically poor man's Rappum.
Yeah, that's, and this is all is. For me to say that Kaapo Kakko has been the best player in the league in the playoffs so far, according to this. Yeah, I mean, there's
been the worst.
That's by Corsi. Kaapo Kakko is leading in both XG and Corsi for differential relative to teammate at 5-on-5. The worst in terms of Corsi for Robert Bertuzzo for the Islanders.
Okay.
And then we got a couple. We have Tyler Myers is second, Vancouver.
Okay.
Which is,
okay.
You know, that's not all that. And then Dubois for LA.
Oh, that's the narrative too.
Yeah.
I've been hearing that narrative.
Oh, have you? Because I mean, I was kind of curious if that was, you know, that was one of the, I think, the things people talked about.
I think that The Athletic had an article about how Dubois was not producing in the playoffs or something.
Oh.
I think I saw Russo tweet out something about that.
Yeah.
But
Kale McCarr is oddly down here, too. He's the fifth worst player in relative teammate Corsi for differential, and his XG differential is not.
Power play merchant. That's
not particularly great. Oddly, RNH is like the worst one. Another really bad player in four games. Again, this is four games we're talking about here. So this is just like, you know, I don't know. There's not really a lot of other.
It's kind of fun. You don't have any problems with like really small sin because this is just all that. The relative to teammate is all quote unquote pencil and paper math.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And there shouldn't be the well.
Sean is giving a funny look. What did you see?
I'm just looking up different Pierre-Luc Dubois quotes and such. You going?
No, it's right. Fine. We're just kind of randomly looking at our tables.
Oh, so Florida is still up 2-1 with 8 minutes into the third. So Florida might be on their way to winning the second team to win the first round.
There's a couple interesting. Is that the line? I'm trying to think. Is Lafreniere play with Kakko?
No.
Okay, so the Rangers have
it here. Let me see. I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. Just based on this, the Rangers, Kakko's playing. Yeah, with Cooley and Wenberg is the line.
I don't know. That's the best line in hockey right now,
and
folks.
Then,
you heard it here first.
Lafreniere, Panarin, Trocheck is the other.
Yeah.
Is their other line?
Yeah.
Those definitely. So it looks like the Rangers, well, yeah, they played the Capitals. That's right. That doesn't really count.
Okay, yeah, it's funny. It's like the Capitals didn't seem like they wanted to be in the playoffs, obviously. And then when they were in the playoffs, they still continued to seem like they didn't want to be in the playoffs. they went about as well as it could have, I think. Well, did it go worse than expected? I think it went about as expected for the Capitals, right?
Did we have them? We probably had them losing in five games, not four, right?
That would be my guess. Maybe the
Islanders.
Yeah,
I don't think you ever like project a sweep.
Yeah, I think maybe one year when the Avalanche played the Predators
against the Preds that year. Yes.
Yeah.
I think we had like a 93% for the Avalanche, if I'm not mistaken. We had Rangers at 85.6% over
so
the Capitals, but
Rangers
it was,
in five, yeah, was like 29%, 28%.
Yeah. So, yeah, they, yeah.
Rangers
I mean,
in
I,
four was like 22%.
But even the Hurricanes that we have at 90% to win, we still had them at Rangers at Canes in five at like 31%, and then four games was 27%, basically.
So it's, yeah, I was a little bit worried, and I think probably there are some things that maybe should have, like, are still our models were a little bit too high overall, like higher than I maybe was hoping or expecting, but now it's going to help us with the logs, you know?
Oh, yeah, and it's if the Stars, we only had the Stars at 78, sorry.
Yeah. I mean, that's still.
Oh, okay, that's right, because when I initially ran this, we had them at like 88% or something, and that ended up being because Vegas was like they had all their roster shenanigans they were doing, so all of their players were like out of the lineup. So now we have them at like 78%. That actually is a pretty probable. Dallas in seven was at 15%.
It's Dallas in six.
Oh, Sean's all in on the Stars. Now he wasn't last week. Luke and I were. But no, I think that's we didn't really talk about Canes Islanders. I guess we did a little bit, but Canes swept.
No,
they haven't swept.
They didn't sweep.
My brain is mush right now. I'm going to edit this out. Don't worry about it.
No, you're not. No, yeah, they're going back to Carolina tomorrow night.
Sorry, yes.
To cause chaos.
I assumed going into the game four that they were going to win, and then that was what stuck in my head. And because we didn't talk, we were just talking about the Capitals getting swept. I was like, oh yeah, the Canes, they did that too, which they didn't. but no, I mean, I haven't. I watched the first two games of that series, and then I've been like, okay, whatever. Like, I don't really care to watch the Islanders much more. But yeah,
you're done with them.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Well, I know what's more interesting is going to be the Canes. I guess assuming, again, asterisk here, if anything happens that's different. But I think the Canes-Rangers series is shaping up to be a very interesting second-round matchup. I think.
I'm looking at it.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I don't remember what it was. I wasn't going to say anything of note. So I ever?
Sip your coffee. The thing is, like, I guess the first round hasn't been as good as anticipated. But I feel like that's actually a good thing, because one of the problems I have with the NHL playoffs is a lot of times the first round is kind of like the best round because of the upsets, and therefore it hurts the rest of the playoffs. But with the favorites winning, I think it sets up for a better second, third, and final, hopefully.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good thing. Like, I'd rather treat next round like it's the first round. And if all the favorites win, well, I guess, like, theoretically the Jets were favorites home. Florida just iced it here, I think. I guess, like, theoretically the Jets are favorites. But, if the favorites are winning, then it just kind of secures a better second round.
Yeah, I mean, I think of the Leafs-Bruins series and the Jets-Avs series, I think were the two closest across the board, and I think also in the betting markets too, I'm pretty sure. I don't think they're, I mean, maybe, I guess, Stars-Vegas was like a little bit closer than we had it, but I think, yeah, I agree with you too, because I think, like, potentially, like, Florida-Boston or Toronto or any of those two, and then also out in the West, I guess, yeah, we don't really know.
Well,
about
I think Vancouver-Edmonton would be a really fun second round, which is kind of what it's looking like it's going to be, which would be pretty wild, I think, just in Western Canada, just having that. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen during that. Hopefully, we get like a extremely well. Okay, I shouldn't put the horse before the cart, as they say, right? but as long as Edmonton and Vancouver are able to finally get one more win and make it into the second round, that would be a really fun playoff series. I also think, I mean, Stars Avalanche would be really fun. Right, so basically all of the second round matchups, as it stands, as long as the Stars can come back and win it, because the Stars Avalanche would be really fun. Sorry, I put the cart before the horse there.
I'm reading about the expression cart before the horse. Sorry, continue your thought.
This is a funny visual. Whenever I've heard that, it's like,
don't you like? Isn't like. Is it not the more popular phrase to say "don't count your chickens before they hatch"?
Yeah.
There's a lot of those kind of.
Yeah, but I like the cart before the horse because it looks like you have people lifting up a cart and moving it in front of a horse in my mind, which is, I don't know why that's silly.
This. I'm sorry once again to do this, Sean. Reading the Wikipedia page on this cart before the horse, but it's sometimes just so dry and funny. The expression cart before the horse is an idiom or proverb used to suggest something is done contrary to the natural or normally effective sequence of events. A cart is a vehicle that is ordinarily pulled by a horse, so to put the cart before the horse is an analogy for doing things in the wrong order. But then there's a picture of a horse pushing a cart in 1907.
So this doesn't feel like it fits. It doesn't feel like it fits. It feels like Luke... put the
well
the
it brought it kind of
it's
does
counting the chickens before they hatch,
like,
no,
I'm saying
you used it wrong.
No, it's
is,
to
it,
do
would
it
you
all.
Call that an idiom? Is that an idiom?
It's an idiom.
You used
yeah.
the idiom wrong.
No, it's, I didn't.
The figure of speech means doing things the wrong way around or with the wrong emphasis or confusing cause and effect.
No, but he's not doing it the wrong way around. He's like moving to the next thing before it happens.
I'm saying that
he's counting his chickens before they hatch. He's counting the comeback before it happens.
Yeah, let the chickens come home
to
roost.
Let me just finish this, because the meaning of the phrase is based on of cart before the horse is based on the common knowledge that a horse usually pulls a cart, despite rare examples of vehicles pushed by horses in the 19th century Germany and early 20th century France. So, cart before the horse is I think I'll give Luke a I know what he's saying.
It's because I was saying that I was saying okay, well, this is the second round matchup, but it's not because it's not done. Okay, maybe I used it wrong.
Sean
maybe
is probably more correct, but yeah. I think it's fine because Luke is thinking about this about like in like having to do the projections. Like you would put, you know, if you have the wrong team, I don't know. It's whatever.
No,
I just think it's funny because
he's thinking about this. He's not thinking about it any sort of metaphorical sense. He's literally thinking about people picking up a cart and just lifting it and putting it in front of a horse.
I think about it, people lifting up a cart and carry and picking it up and over the horse and then setting in front of them.
I love the fact that they that Wikipedia had somebody on Wikipedia had to clarify that actually the expression is to like don't get ahead of yourself, but let's not also get ahead of ourselves because carts or horses used to push carts in the early 19th century or 20th century. And
hold on, but so would that be synonymous with saying that we let's not get ahead of ourselves?
I think
here.
That's yeah.
No, it's not.
I think it does. I think it works because it doesn't matter.
When was the last time you saw a horse out on the road?
On the road, I was thinking when we drove to Indiana, I was going to see some horses, but we didn't.
You saw something on what do you got? 45 south.
I can't remember what the highway was. 65.
What's the highway there?
Sorry, 65? What are we talking about?
Was it
65? Like 65 it goes all the way down to Nashville.
I think from Chicago
down,
or from Gary south to Indianapolis. What was the highway? I think
I'm not very familiar with the Midwest. I apologize.
It was an interstate.
We know this.
I mean, I would have to go check it again.
You didn't see any horses on the interstate?
No, we did not. Or
sorry, why are we talking about horses on the interstate right now?
Because Sean asked me. Yeah, it is 65. Hey, I was right. And it does go down to Louisville. And down to Nashville.
I just love the visual image of seeing a horse push a cart instead of pull a cart. Like,
how do they even do that?
I don't know.
With their head?
Mean, no, they're like, I don't know what the thing is. Like,
oh, they have like things on their shoulders.
Yeah,
and
like
then
how
it just
you know, like an ox
it?
Or something that's like plowing the fields. I would assume is like, but it's pushing the cart.
But don't the plows go behind the horses?
Yes. I'm just trying to think of the thought process of somebody in like 1907 thinking, oh, let's have the horse push the cart. Right. It has to be like so much more inefficient than having a horse pull a cart, right? Like pulling a buggy or something. And I just am trying to think about the logic that it led to of somebody saying, let's put the cart in front of the horse actually in real life and then have the horse push us around.
Anyway, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I wonder if it has to do with the fact that they wanted to not have to look at the horse when they were riding in the cart, right? That must
okay,
have been.
Josh, let's get over okay. it. Let's get over it. But yeah, I think that hopefully Edmonton, Vancouver, I mean, we'll see. Unless one of them chokes, Edmonton, Vancouver would be really fun. Boston, Florida run back, if that happens, would also be kind of fun. Although I kind of was hoping the Leafs would win just for some more just interesting.
Is this Luke naturally wrapping up the episode for us?
Yeah,
right now?
I am. What else are we going to talk about?
No, I know.
Point leaders? And who's the Conn Smythe favorite right now?
Who's been the biggest horse in the playoffs? That's the question.
Probably go Tyler Myers.
Tyler Myers. How do you define horse?
It's not the goat. It's a different.
Yeah, the opposite of a goat.
It's a horse.
It's not a horse. That's definitely not.
I think I used that phrase kind of correctly.
I think you're fine. I think it would be understood by most people. And Sean was nitpicking.
Yeah.
No. Once you read the definition or the origin, I'm gonna nitpick. If you go to Wikipedia, I'm going to...
That's fair.
No, it's...
That's
yes,
fair.
Your phrase...
Pick it apart.
There's a ton of different idioms that would work for that. Let's not get ahead of ourselves would be the same as...
Let's not count...
Having the cart ahead of the horse. You know what I mean?
It's spring, too. You know? Isn't this like chicken time?
Probably. I don't know. I don't have chickens. I did look into getting chickens at one point.
I can't imagine that. At Menards?
No, we just had a neighbor that had chickens. This is like in, you know, Minneapolis.
Tractor Supply Company?
No, and they had, but I was reading about it, and you don't actually need a rooster, because it's one of the things, if you get chickens, roosters are really loud, and they're like kind of mean, and I was reading that really the only reason that you would have a rooster is if you have birds of prey, because roosters are mean, and they will protect the hens from like eagles and hawks and stuff.
They're like the bouncer at
exactly
the bar.
And they're like mean, like it's so, because there's like videos, you can go find videos of like hawks and eagles like, you know, preying on chickens, which, you know, you probably don't want that to happen, but if you have a rooster around Yeah, roosters, they'll fuck up those birds of prey. That's what they do. I'm pretty sure I haven't read about this in several years because getting chickens was going to be way too much work. I was just interested
in taking care of chickens.
I was interested in the regulations about owning chickens within city limits.
I'm on the phrases.com looking at related phrases that don't count your chickens before they hatch. And it's not like there's a whole lot of them, but one of these that I'm trying to still make out of is it's an archaic phrase. It says those who will not when they may, when they will, they shall have nay.
Ooh, that's a. Imagine if I pulled that phrase out on the podcast.
Those who will not
in
when
the X-Gar right off.
Those who will not when they may, when they will, they shall have nay, which is says one should take immediate advantage of an opportunity that may not be available later.
There you go.
There's a nice little phrase.
All right.
For you
there's something to leave our listeners with as we end the episode here.
Yeah. There's some interesting
phrases.
Luke's got to go get some more coffee, I think.
No, we're done. I'm done with my coffee for
decaffeinated.
That. No, I'm good.
Okay. There's a little, rhyming phrase for everybody. I think we could let Sean end this kind of very rambly podcast. And I meant Luke kind of cut us off here. I meant to talk about the contract projections, but they'll probably be out next in a week or so, give or take. For the people who are asking, which is every year, they're out in the middle of the first and second round of the playoffs, and so we're shooting for next week. Sean is, and you can't see his face, but he's in,
wonderment.
He's in shock.
Yeah, I suppose I maybe should have said that towards the beginning
of the
episode.
Here, just edit this at the beginning. Say, hey, everybody, contract projections is going to be out in about a week.
So we'll see. Maybe next week we're talking about contract projections.
Which is why we want the series to go a series to go to Game 7 so that the playoffs end on Sunday so we have some extra time to get the contract projections ready and get all of the playoff projections. You know, it's just us.
There's a lot going on.
There's nobody else here doing this stuff. It's the three of us. And
Luke has to what are the joke people used to make on Twitter about how we have a triplet who
locked in the basement.
Locked in the basement on the bike on the generator. That we used to get that joke a lot is that there's like before when we did the twin reveal that the people were like, what is your triplet in the basement powering the website or whatever? Anyway, so yes, that's our
which we don't have a triplet.
We don't have a triplet.
And there's no one locked in our basement.
Anyway, sorry. I was thinking we were gonna do a shorter episode and not have a lot to talk about, but of course we found things to talk about as always.
Sean,
why don't you end this lovely podcast? For our listeners.
Yeah, so Josh and Luke need to get back to Brian in the basement. So get him back to work to get the salary cap projections out. We will be back next week to ramble some more about hockey and other things. We'll see you then.
Yeah, thanks, Sean.
Take it easy.